We welcome you to our worship service today. Glad you're here. Some of our folks are traveling out of town and some are sick. We're glad you're here. And we especially welcome visitors today. Currently, we are involved in a series of messages on a title that may seem strange at first. Those of you who are attending here regularly are certainly more familiar with it. It deals with the mortification of sin. The mortification of sin. Where would we find such a title as that? Well, actually it comes out of the realms of the 1600s by a man named John Owen. John Owen was a Puritan writer, wrote many, many volumes of works. Life was different in the 1600s, quite different. John Owen and his wife had 10 children and outlived them all. One daughter became an adult. All the rest died as children or infants. John Owen was a great pastor, shepherd of souls, and wrote many, many volumes of theology, like other of his companions during the days of the Puritans. Someone has well said that John Owen knew how to do heart surgery. Not heart surgery like in a hospital, but a spiritual heart surgery. Dissecting what we would call sometimes the heart of an individual. One of the volumes he wrote is entitled Mortification of Sin. One of the more popular quotes from the works of John Owen is, he said, and rightly so, we must be about the business of killing sin, or it will be about the business of killing you. That's a profound statement. And is worthy of much thought. But before John Owen, there was a man by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, wrote almost half the New Testament. Paul, in his book addressed concerning the Romans, said that if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you will live. I challenge you to take your Bible's home today and check that out and read it again and again. It's much more profound than will meet the eye. John Owen wrote a whole volume on that one verse. And what we've been dealing with more recently has to do with seeking to discover of what actually is involved in mortifying sin. How do you do it? How do you go about it? Is it easy? Or is it difficult? And we've been discovering that there's a sense in which our sin is embedded in what we and what John Owen would call our Constitution. As I, when I was growing up, I heard some of the older folks make use of that word, referring to health, energy, well-being, whatever. And just for our help this morning, let me kind of bring you up to date on that word. When I introduced that word recently, I said, our church has a constitution. I got a copy of it right there in my briefcase. Why would a church have a constitution? What function does it have? Well, it's the actual working of the church. How does it go about its work being a church? How do you get a pastor? How do you select deacons? How do you do this? How do you discipline an unruly church member? Who do you baptize? What's involved in the Lord's Supper? It's the workings of the church. We are a constituted church. Our nation has a constitution. In some of my previous employments, I had to have a good knowledge of the Constitution. To uphold the laws that are represented by that Constitution, the fabric, the inner working, how does this country work? So bringing it down to our purpose, what is a person's constitution? Here's a definition. It is man's total entity influenced by factors peculiar to his own life. I think I should read that again, because there's more to it than meets the eye. It is to consider man as a total entity, the sum total of what you are, who you are, sitting in that chair right now. There have been countless, innumerable factors influencing your life since the moment you were born. As you grew up, as a baby, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, and constantly, since you have been an adult, there are things that will influence your life today and tomorrow until you no longer live. And those things are being fed into those various factors becoming a part, and I like to use the word fabric, of your life. Sad to say, the fabric of your life includes sin. We are told by God's word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is a reality. Oh, we live in a day when people deny it. They call it everything but sin. It's my hang-up. Really? Yeah, it's a bad habit, etc. Aren't we clever at renaming things? Besides anything, besides what God calls it. Sin is a reality. And you can ignore it, but it's not going to go away. John Owen writes, mortify sin. The Apostle Paul writes, mortify sin. And in order to do that with any degree of success, we need to know what we're dealing with. Several years ago, I had a heart catheterization. And before it took place, the doctor was discussing the matter with me. If you don't know what a heart catheterization is, it's when they send a camera up in your heart. And I wasn't too excited about that. And I said, "Doctor, is it really necessary?" And he looked at me rather sternly. He said, "We won't know what we're dealing with unless we do it." Well, turned out to be successful. And he found out some things he needed to know. We're doing a heart catheterization in some of our preaching because we're trying to find out what we're really dealing with. Perhaps it's more serious than you are aware of. So man, what is man? Well, let's think about that. It's very pertinent to what we're learning. I want you to think about this. Man is a body and soul entity. People would say, and often say, man has a soul. Well, it's more correct to say man is a soul. And there's a reason for that. Because you see, you have a body. How do I know you have a body? Because I see it. I'm looking at you. Man is a body and soul entity. It's incorrect, basically. We'd say it, but it's not correct to say that a man has a soul or a man has a body. We say it, we know what you mean. But in reality, man is a soul. And he is a body. That's important to the overall understanding of dealing with sin. So man is a body, man is a soul. Now, as long as we're alive, they are inseparable. But when the body and soul are separated, then there's death. The point is, because of this intimate connection between body and soul, hear me well, what affects the body affects the soul. And what affects the soul affects the body. Are you beginning to see the far-reaching effect that sin can have in a person's life? The point is, because of this intimate connection, one affects the other. Let me illustrate it. Ever hear of psychosomatic illness? Where did that come from? What are psychosomatic diseases? They are bodily ailments, but caused by something that has to do with the soul and with the emotional makeup of the man. Think about this, the intricate relationships. We read more and more about chemical imbalances in the body and the effect they have and can affect the soul, can affect the emotional part of a man's makeup. Turn with me to Proverbs 17, verse 22, because someone discovered this long before the day in which we live. Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is a good medicine. But there's more to it. A broken spirit dries up the bones. See the interrelationship there? The condition of a man's soul has a very real effect on the body, and the reverse is true. The body affects the soul. Turn with me to Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Christ is not saying that the disciples did not care about Christ. They did care. The spirit was willing. But the problem was that they were tired physically, and that affected them. They were hindered from doing what they would have done otherwise. We're talking about a man's constitution. We're talking about a man as a total entity. Body and soul. We're talking about the relationships between the body and the soul. But as influenced by factors peculiar to your individual life. Most of those factors consist of one or more of three things. Number one, follow me closely, genetic makeup. Ever hear about the genes? The genetic makeup of a person? Secondly, environmental influence. Well, we hear a lot about the environment. Weather-wise, I'm talking about the environment of your home, the environment of your friends, the environment of the schools, the environment of the churches, the environment of geographical surroundings. Do you not understand that all of that has a part in your life? Determining who you are. There's a third one that is very influential, and it is your general health. It's a big influence. If a man is sickly, it will influence him one way. If he's very robust, it will influence him another way. It's mind-boggling when you stop to think of all of the influence that has been being poured into your life from the time you were first born until you're sitting here on Ferguson Road in the Dallas Reformed Baptist Church. And it will continue while you're sitting here. It will continue when you walk out that door and get in your car to drive home. It is a constant flow of information, of influence, that's adding more and more to who you are. What is a man's constitution? It is man as a total entity, taking into account the intimate relationship between body and soul, that entity as influenced by every factor in your life. That's who you are. I'm going to try to illustrate what we've been talking about in a way that will make it perhaps easier to grasp. But I beg your attention. You know anybody that's what we would call hot-tempered? He has a flash point at almost anything. He loses it. Well, follow me. What would cause that man to be angry? An angry man. Well, it may be that the constitution is in some way the influence of his environmental factors. It might be he was raised in New York City, where he had to fight for his life. One of the young boys I worked with in Phoenix in our church group, who came from the ghetto, I met him when he was 12, and God graciously saved him. And you know what he told me? He said, "Pastor, I didn't think I would live to be 14 in this environment. I would never make it." He had to fight for everything he had. He had brothers and sisters. He had an older brother who was set up for a drive-by shooting. He was shot as the car went by in his spine and paralyzed from his waist down. He was continuing to sell drugs, paralyzed, laying in bed at home. His sister's boyfriend committed suicide in the kitchen of their home. Don't tell me that those various factors were not being poured in to this young kid. Because they were. And out of that could have the spirit, "You're not going to tell me what to do. Fight every inch of the way to get what you have and to hold on to it." Perhaps these things could be true. You come up with this man who has a volatile nature or temperament. You might even simply call him an angry man. Now, his problem is not that he falls into the sin of anger because once in a while something happens that overwhelms his soul and he loses it. His problem is that it's his very constitutional makeup that gives itself to the slightest inclination where a man's sin is rooted in his constitution. You could have the opposite, a man who is very melancholy. But it's part of the constitution, of the makeup. Now, why would we address that issue in this series of messages? Because I want you to see that dealing with sin is dealing with who you are. And what you are up to this point in your life. That will give you some understanding of what it takes to follow God's injunction to mortify your sin. We got a long ways to go in this series. I trust that we're retaining and thinking and applying these truths to your own life for your spiritual benefit. I'm going to close by using a simple illustration. The illustration is this. A missionary on the mission field was approached by one of the natives who had been attending the services. And he comes to the missionary and he says to him, "I have two dogs down inside of me that are fighting. The missionary said, "Which one wins?" And the native replied, "The one I feed." That tells you something of what we're dealing with. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray that you might take your word that's forever settled in heaven. Open our eyes to see the truth concerning who we are, what we are. Concerning the truth that we were born in sin. And we are subject to the various influences in our life. Not to excuse it, it's still sin. Help us, Lord, to be concerned about it. For if we live after the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.